Thank you. Let me pray before starting. Father, we come before you on this beautiful day, and we thank you. We thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the worship time to just understand more, a little bit more, to be touched by your Spirit of how good and holy and giving and thankful we should be. Father, encourage us this day. Help us to hear from you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the many blessings that we have here in this country. We do pray for our country. We do pray for the elections coming up, that you would go before that, Father, and just choose the right person for this time. And we pray for the world around us and for the leaders, Father, in each country, that you would encourage them, that they would come to know you fully and that they would follow you with all their heart, Father. And we lift up your name, and we pray that we'd be more bold, enabling us to proclaim your truth to a world that desperately needs to hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, for this church, and for your love and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are going to need your Bibles today. We're going to be moving a little bit, so it's not just the scripture right there. If you could turn to the book of Acts, and it's Acts 17 is where we're going to start. This is a little bit of the history of the Thessalonian church, kind of how it got started. I enjoy preparing for this message. One reason I enjoy preparing for it is that often this is the way God speaks to me as I'm preparing to give a message. But also this reminds me of days when it was really much warmer than today, and I was sitting in Zion National Park in Utah, and the Lord put on my heart that this book of Thessalonians is what I should preach to your church. So this is where we're going to look at. We're going to look at Acts 17, 2-5. This is Paul's second mission trip. And he is in Thessalonia, and it starts here in, where I'm going to start here, in 17:2. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scripture, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous. Paul would go, and he would preach to these, and on his mission trips, he would go out, and he would begin to preach. And what he always seemed to preach is that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. There's I follow biblical archaeology. There's a stone that was found, and supposedly it's controversial. Really, it's not at all. There was a stone that was found, and biblical archaeologists have confirmed that it's certainly from this time. And it's pre the birth of Jesus Christ. And what it says is that the Jewish people knew of a suffering Messiah. That they really weren't waiting for a political Messiah to take away the Romans and drive them out, but they really knew of a suffering Messiah. We who know our scriptures know that surely they did, because they had the prophets. They had Isaiah. They had the prophets that spoke of this. But supposedly this was this stone is causing some controversy. Paul would always also preach the fact of what he knew, that Jesus rose from the dead, the resurrection. That's what touched Paul's heart. That's what, you know, motivated him. Some people have criticized Paul. They said, oh, he's prejudiced. Look what he says in verse 5. But the Jews were jealous. This is such a false term. Why is it such a false term? Because Jews were never a slur, specifically if you were a Jewish person. That Paul himself was certainly a Jew. Paul would certainly call himself a Jew. Jesus was also a Jew. This was never a slur. This is just who the people were at that time and what the people called themselves. Well, the Jews who were jealous decided that they were going to arrest Paul, throw him in prison here in Thessalonica. They went to the house where Paul was staying, and he wasn't there, so they arrest Jason, who owns the house. And Jason was arrested and later freed on bail. If you would look at 17:10, And this is again Paul. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. Oh, to be more like the noble Bereans, that we too would examine the scripture each day, that we too would come and understand this is how God speaks to us today. This is also where Satan will always try to pull us away, to create doubt in our mind, to encourage us to choose our way, not God's word. You see, the scriptures will always be under attack. The scriptures is where we must stand. When we do not know the scriptures or do not truly hold on to the scripture, it is there when we stand on shaky ground. Please turn now to First Thessalonians chapter 2. The last time I was here, I got to 2:12, so we will be starting in verse 13, in 2:13. And again, this is Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Paul is in prison now, and this would be the letter that he would write to encourage them. In verse 13, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." When we come to the Bible, what a great truth that this, we must understand this. When we come to the Bible, that we are coming to the very word of God. This is how God communicates with his people today. Can God communicate audibly? He could if he wanted to. But we have the complete canon. We have the word. What more need he say than to you he has said? We have God's word in our hand. It is the scripture where we learn about the good news that God came to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. We learn about the price that was paid for our sin. We read about the crucifixion of our Lord and his resurrection, that by his blood we are saved. His word is open to us. The word is what we must stand upon. The word is eternal. Everything else in this world is terminal and is dying. In heaven, we will have other Christians around us. Those Christians will be recognizable and we will know them in heaven. But the only thing material that will stand in heaven that we currently have now upon earth is this word. What an amazing thing we hold in our hand. We truly hold eternity because this word will be there throughout all eternity. Satan will also always make his attack upon God's word. This is where Satan will challenge those of us who are believers, those of us who he's trying to pluck away, those of us who he's trying never to come to the word. Go back to the garden, go back to Genesis 3. What did Satan say to Eve? Did God really say? Did God really say that? And God also comes back to us with those same words when we read his word. Did God really mean that? Did God really say? You see, Satan wants you to doubt this word. Why? Because it's truth, and he's a liar. This word is inerrant. without mistake. This word is inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's written by the hand of man, but this word is the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is how God communicates with his people today. It is worthy of study each day. It is worthy of staking your very life upon its truth. People in many different parts of the world, people throughout history, have been called to do that, have been called to stake their very life upon this word. And me, who has never been challenged with anything like that, persecution of that degree, say, oh, would I ever have the courage to stand? Would I ever really have the courage to stand in the face of death, literally? And the answer is, we really don't have to answer that question. What we have to know is that this word is true, and that if God ever calls you to stand in the face of death for this word, God would give you the courage and the ability to do so at that time. Please look at verses 14 and 16. 14 through 16. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. Paul is thinking back in prison, sure, to the book of Acts, when he had to flee Thessalonica in the night, because the Jewish people that were jealous of him were after him to arrest him. They displease God and are hostile to all men in their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they also heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them. Why were people in Paul's day so hostile to this good news? There were only some Jews, really, that believed in Thessalonica. It wasn't that many. It wasn't breaking up their entire synagogues or anything like that. Yeah, there were some Greeks that believed, but why were they so upset? Why were they so determined to not let Paul preach what Paul knew to be true? And the answer to that is because it is true. Those who preach the truth, those who tell others the truth, those who do not believe don't want others to hear it. Why were people in Paul's day hostile to the good news? For the same reason they are today. God's word is truth, and people want to follow their own way. They reject the truth and often despise others who believe it. If you would turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a few books forward, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This is the great faith chapter. These are the prophets, the heroes of old, who boldly spoke God's word. And I'm looking at chapter 11, starting in verse 36. Chapter 11, starting in verse 36. I often will examine one of my two master's degrees, one at seminary and one in school. One of my master's degrees is school business administrator. I'm a school business administrator. I've never been a school business administrator. I've never applied that degree in my life. But one thing I've always done is, if you want to know how an organization runs, it's very important to know about the flow of money. How does the flow of money make things operate? So I became a school business administrator just in case I would become a principal one day. I wanted to know how that flow of money was. Often when I examine things, I examine things in that way. What motivates people to do what they do? What is one's motivation to become a missionary? What is one's motivation, Paul's motivation, to preach this word? Why do people do what they do? It's often a good question. Sometimes, really, you can't answer it. There's no reason why people may do certain things. But let's look at these people. Let's see what they received, these heroes of the faith, those who proclaimed God's word so boldly. What did they receive? Well, starting in verse 36, some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword, they went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. Paul himself, at this time, was writing from a prison. Probably the prisons back then weren't all that nice. Jesus himself was nailed upon a cross. Why? For telling the truth? For believing that this word is true? In the case of Jesus, for living it, for being it, for these prophets of old, they believed that Messiah would come. They believed in the Messiah that would come. They knew that they were speaking God's very word, and they are willing to suffer, to die, to be imprisoned, to be flogged, to live in poverty and persecution. Why did they do it? Because it was truth. Why did they believe it? Because God opened their hearts to this word, and they held to it, and they held to it with their very, very life. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time in prison, when we were torn away from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. We have an enemy. He goes under the name of Satan, and this Satan has a plan. And his plan is in every way, shape, and form, every lie, every aspect of his being, is to keep you away from the Word of God. Because if you are not rooted in the Word of God, then he knows he can take you out. If this Word of God, if the very Word of God, is not something that you delight in, then you will not come to it. If the very Word of God isn't understood as what it is, God communicating today with his people, if we don't understand that, then laziness, complacency, and 5,000 other things will creep into our hearts, and we will not be rooted and grounded in this word. You see, Satan's desire is to tempt, to trick, to deceive, to lie, to make one complacent to the truth of God's word. Reread with me verses 19 and 20. For what is our hope? our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Young people, hear. You are. It is your faith. Young people, your faith is the glory and joy of your parents. Your faith, rooted in Jesus Christ, is what they glory and take joy in. It is that faith which is eternal, not the profession you will one day choose, not the wealth or fame that one day you may acquire. The only thing that is eternal from our lives is the truth of God's Word and what we do with the good news of His Gospel. Paul had no children. Paul had no children, to our knowledge. But Paul had many children. Paul had many, many children. And Paul's children were called spiritual children. You see, I had an earthly father. I had an earthly father that I loved with all my heart. But I also have a spiritual father. I have a spiritual father who persistently came to me and pointed me to the truth of God's Word, who encouraged me to go to a Bible study where I found the truth of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit opening my heart to His Word. I certainly consider Him my spiritual father. This is what Paul had. This is this whole Thessalonian church. This is the Galatian church. These are the places where he went. These are the people that he met. This is the word that he proclaimed. And many people came to faith in Jesus Christ. These are his spiritual children. There are two things, to my knowledge, only two. There are two things we can do for eternity. The two things that we can do for eternity, and I'm going to put prayer in there, I'm going to say three things. There are two things that we can do for eternity. One, we can come to God's Word. We can come to God's Word and read it and love it and grow in it and understand what it is truly, the very Word of God speaking to you. And the other thing is, bring others. Bring the good news. Bring the good news of this truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it. How does one bring this good news to a world that needs to hear it? In prayer, speaking to God. And that too is eternal. For you will be able to speak to God throughout eternity. Pray. Pray that God would give you the courage, the boldness, the heart to reach out to this world around us. Pray that God would open your heart to read His Word like the noble Bereans. The noble Bereans back in Acts 17. What did they do? They examined the Scriptures daily. See that they are true. If you are not sure that these Scriptures are true, examine them, read them, go before the elders and the pastors of this church. You have some very wise spiritual leaders here. Anything that you question, anything that you doubt, is a good question. Bring it before your Sunday school teachers. Bring it before the elders of the church. Bring it before your pastors. You see, God wants you to wrestle with His Word. Sometimes it's not all going to be answered. But everything that you need for salvation is answered. Everything that you need present this good news to the world around you is answered. Everything that will enable you to be a witness to your neighbors, to love them and to show God's love to them, is answered. Go to God in His Word. Pray before you read His Word. Examine the Scriptures daily. See that they are true. For they are. Certainly the prophets of the past were willing to give their very lives for it. Certainly the martyrs throughout the New Testament, which are more than the Old, the First Testament, were willing to give their very lives for it. What we are asked to do is stand upon it. Stand upon this word and bring this message of hope and truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it. But there's a problem. They don't know they need to hear it. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, to bring this word to people that Satan will twist and turn and have them reject it. To bring this word to people that will mock it, and that will use foul language and do everything else imaginable to put it down. It almost seems not worth doing, honestly. Nobody listens anyway. Why should I look like a fool? Why should I do this? Well, because God tells us to. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and tell. Go tell it on a mountain. Go tell it to your neighbors. Go and tell. I can't say that I'm great at this. Honestly, I'm not. I like telling it to people that listen to me much more readily than I like telling it to people that will not. It's hard. You know, it's not easy to go to your schools and stand out. It's hard. It's hard to go to the workplace where people have learned to scorn and reject this word. But they do need it, and God tells us to do it. And I pray for you guys and for myself that we would have the confidence and courage to bring it. To bring it to the world. We come into a season, a fall season, which I love fall, but it can often reflect the passage of life. It's sort of a lonely season. Some people begin to get sometimes more depressed. Within that season, we have a great holiday of Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that we have that holiday, that we can give thanks. Not to the air, not to the Indians, not to the turkeys or the food that we have, but to God Himself. And then we have a season of the gift that God has given to us. And that season is Christmas. People are more open during this season than at others. You will have opportunities in the coming weeks and months ahead to speak of your faith. Here's a prayer that God often answers very quickly. Lord, bring someone into my life that I can tell your gospel to. He usually does that kind of quickly. We can miss it, don't get me wrong. I've prayed that, had the opportunities, and let it go by. And then pray for another one. It's okay. It's okay. God understands that it's not easy to do. Pray for those opportunities in this season ahead. In your walk with the people that you will meet, He will bring people that need to hear His word. I urge you to look for spiritual children. Those of you who are parents, certainly pray for your children, but look for spiritual children as well. This was Paul's hope. This was Paul's glory. This is what his joy was. And Paul's telling us, this will be your joy and glory in heaven. Those who you have told, you know, those who are there now, those who are there in heaven throughout eternity, this will be your joy, not all of your accomplishments, not the other stuff around us, not the, you know, the many multiple things we can name, not bad, many good, but this will be your joy and your glory, those who you are able to introduce to Jesus Christ. God will do the work. Your work is not to save people. Your work is to point people, to open them up to the truth of this good news, to open them up to this gospel and its truth. Look for spiritual children, those you are helping to grow in their faith. That is eternal. That was Paul's glory and his joy. Let it also be ours. Thank you.